Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
Thank you, Carol. In our church family here, we have people of different ages and different abilities, different gifts and different backgrounds. We have young and old. We've got people from Dunfermline. We've got people from as far away as Crossford. And we've also got people from America, from Rwanda, from India, and from other places. And we are part of the family of God here, together with Aaron. And the church in Philippi that Paul is writing to here in this letter was the same. The church in Philippi had been around at this time for about 10 years. So it was a very young church. And in Acts chapter 16, which we obviously haven't read this morning, you can read the story of how the church there was born, of how it was planted by Paul, who is here writing to them. And you discover there some of the first members of the church in Philippi. There was Lydia. Lydia was basically a businesswoman. She was a trader. She was probably quite a well-to-do kind of person and quite a respected person. She was religious. And she meets with Paul and she discovers a bit more about Jesus and she becomes a Christian. And she and her household were baptized. The first members of that little church. Then there was also another person who was most likely a member of the church, and this was a slave girl. She was someone who had been caught up in what we would call today the occult. She seemed to have been possessed by some kind of spirit, and as such, she'd also been. Well, there are other people who were in control of her life. She was a slave girl. And there were people there she was abused by her owners for financial benefit. And when you read the story, you'll discover that she too was set free. But as well as her, as well as Lydia, there was also a jailer. Paul is imprisoned in the story, and in the prison, there's a jailer, and I'll not go through the whole story, but right at the end of the story, the jailer says to Paul, "What must I do to be saved? How can I be rescued? How can I have a little bit of what you have?" And he too comes to know and to believe in Jesus, who died for him, who rose for him, And he too is baptized along with his family. Three very different kinds of people from different backgrounds, but who had become brothers and sisters. And the church from that small core began to grow. Church of ordinary people, of young Christians. And the same happens today. As people today come to know the good news of Jesus Christ in their own lives. And that opportunity is open to all of us to receive the new life that he offers, the new life, the forgiveness, the security, the peace that can be found in Christ Jesus. And as we begin to think about this church, and as we begin to think about these first few verses of the letter, one of the striking things that comes across in the letter is Paul's obvious love for the people in Philippi. He's no longer with them. He's in prison at the moment, and he's writing to them, and he tells them basically how much he cares about them. He says, when I remember you, I do so with great joy. He says, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I want to be with you. As he remembers, as he sits in his room, and as he reflects on what happened in Philippi and the people there, a smile comes across his face. There were good times. But he also misses them. And he also wants to encourage them. And there are two things that he does in this passage to encourage them, that he communicates with them to encourage them. And these two things can be an encouragement to Aaron, but also to all of us. First of all, he communicates to them the confidence that he who began a good work in them, that is God, would complete that work. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I wonder, is there work in your house that has gone unfinished? There's that half-finished kitchen cabinet that you were repairing, or you were doing something to, and it's half done. Or there's that half-painted fence, or that half anything, and now someone over lunch is going to nag you about it. Or perhaps it's a half-finished jigsaw that's been on the table for ages, and you were enthusiastic to begin with, and now every time you pass it, it just makes you feel guilty. Many of us have stuff that we start but don't complete. But God's not like that. When he starts something, he completes it. And as Paul thought about the folks in Philippi, the jailer, Lydia, the slave girl, possibly others, their families and all the others, he knew that God had begun a work in their lives. They had come to know Jesus and they had received the Holy Spirit. God had begun to change them and work through them. And God, through his Spirit, was going to make them more like Christ. He was going to work in their lives. Yes, there will be ups and downs. There will be times perhaps when they drifted, times perhaps when they loosened their hold on him, but he would never let go of them, and he would complete the work in them that he had begun. And it would ultimately be completed when Christ returned and made everything new. When God begins a work in our lives, He completes it. Whether we're at the beginning of our Christian lives or have been Christians for years, there are times in our Christian lives when things can be a bit of a struggle. We find prayer difficult, or God seems distant, or we feel that we're always letting Him down. And perhaps the devil whispers in our ear, you're a failure. You're a no-hoper. You think God can work through you? No chance. He's given up on you. He started the work, but He's given up. But the wonderful thing is that God completes, He finishes what He begins, and He will bring to completion what He has started in our lives. He will not leave us unfinished. He will carry on the work to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So that's an encouragement to the folks there. Work's begun, but even without Paul, the work is going to continue, and work's going to be completed, because it's God who's doing the work. But then he also, as an encouragement to them, he tells them what he prays for them. And he basically prays that they would grow, in their faith. And he does that from verse 9, as he tells them what he prays for them. And he prays that their love would abound more and more. Love. And that was speaking about their love for God. I pray that you and your walk would love God more. That day by day you would show that love. But it was also meaning love for others. Love for their community. Love for their teachers, love for their bosses, love for the ones they get on with, and love for the ones that they don't. So that they would be a people who were known for their overwhelming love. So that when people thought of the church in Philippi, Paul is praying that the first thing that they think about when they think about the church in Philippi is love. Love. They love each other. They love the community. They love me. They love God. So he prays that they be abounding in love. But he also prays that they would be a people who were also kind of abounding in knowledge and insight, or growing in knowledge and insight. And what he means by that is that he's praying that they would know God better in all of his majesty and all of his greatness and all of his holiness. That they would grow in their knowledge of all that he has done for them, and of his call on their lives, and of how he wants them to live for him. So that they'll be able to discern what is true and what is right. When I married Sarah, a long time ago, I didn't think, right, I'm married, I don't need to know anything more about you. No, because we love one another, we wanted to get to know each other better and better and better. And Erin here has been baptized and has come to know Christ. And does it end here? I've got this sorted. Paul is praying, pray that you will get to know God better. To know his greatness, to know his love, to know his plan for their lives. growing in knowledge. And perhaps you in your Christian life, you've kind of got stuck. And part of the reason you've perhaps got stuck is that you're needing to actually encounter God more and in a deeper way through His Word, through His Spirit speaking to you, through gathering in a home group or in a church Sunday morning or wherever, and I want to know God better. And Paul, you see, ties this together with love. It's kind of a strange sentence that he's got here, because he links love and knowledge. And what he seems to be saying is the more that you know God, the deeper you know Him and of His work in your life and the work His work in the world, the more that you know Him, actually the more loving you'll be. The more you'll love Him and the more you'll love others. Love, knowledge. But he also prays that they would live pure and blameless lives, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Prayer here is that they would become increasingly like Jesus Christ in their day-to-day lives. They have been made righteous. That's what it is to become a Christian. To become a Christian is to be made righteous, is to be forgiven. And his prayer is that, well, now you've been made righteous in Jesus Christ, live that out, living a righteous life. Not so that you earn your salvation, but as a result of your salvation, so that the fruit of the Spirit is seen more and more in your life. So it's seen in your patience, in your goodness, in your faithfulness, in your gentleness, in your self-control. And it's been seen in every aspect of our lives, not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday morning and a Friday night and a Saturday night, in our thinking, in our words, in our relationships, in our priorities. Whole life thing. Pure and blameless. To be a Christian in Philippi would have been difficult. There would have been temptations. You were very, very much the minority in Philippi if you were a follower of Jesus. And it'd be difficult to live a Christ-like life with all the temptations, with all the things that are going on. Paul says, that's what I pray for you. Abounding love, growing knowledge. Pure and blameless lives. And these marks, as it were, are marks that surely we want to be seen in our lives today. That can be seen in our lives today. Marks that God wants to develop within us. And are things that we can pray for ourselves. As a church family, there are things that we can pray for one another. Maybe that you want to think of three or four people in the church family that you know or perhaps that you don't know. And you say, well, I'm going to pray these things. I'm going to pray these three things for this person. And then we're going to wait and see what happens in their lives. What we want to seek in our lives, that in the stress of these days, that in the messiness of life, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that our love would abound, that we would know God better, our lives would be pure and blameless. And we can do this in the knowledge that God will complete what He has begun. The God who called Lydia, the God who set the slave girl free, the God who saved the jailer, is the same God who is at work in Aaron and in me and in each of you. And what God starts, he will finish. Let's pray together.